easily my favorite stat of the 2021 season, and one of my favorite stats ever in the NFL. And it's not even a stat. Maybe it's like a factoid or whatever people call it. But I was looking up the Chiefs, I remember, at the end of the 2021 season. And I'm thinking about Patrick Mahomes and just the fact that we were witnessing someone before their prime already looking like one of the best quarterbacks of all time and how that happens. And the thing that I looked up, I started looking through all the players that he was, you know, targeting, all the guys in the backfield. And what I found was the top 10 offensive producers in 2021, from Mahomes on down to DeMarcus Robinson, had never played for another team. They had all been Chiefs their entire career, from Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the backfield, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, Derek Gore. Bizarre. And also, I think, somewhat indicative of why Mahomes and that offense clicked so well. That this was a team that was born into a system, an Andy Reid-led system, and everyone knew their roles, essentially, more or less. And that leads to, perhaps, more efficiency. And then as we started shifting out of that, and we get into, you know, 2022, 2023, and we suddenly see Patrick Mahomes not be the dominant fantasy force that he once was. And we wonder why. I mean, 2022, he still dominated. He still had some of those guys, although Tyreek Hill was gone. And maybe that's an anomaly, and maybe it throws this whole idea out the window. But 2023, 2024, he did not throw for as many touchdowns at all. Didn't throw for as many yards. He had a carousel of receivers, whether it was, Kadarius Toney experiment to Sky Moore, and eventually Rashi Rice, and then Xavier Worthy, and Rice gets hurt, and Worthy steps up, but then you've got Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown's hurt. They bring back Juju Smith-Schuster. Whatever it is, it's this a collection of talent that they keep cycling through without the same consistency that Mahomes had the first few years of his career. And so now we've reached this point, and this is one of the reasons why I invested in him in my draft. And I've mentioned this before, podcast, and on the Fantasy Football for Winners blog. I picked Lamar Jackson at the end of the second round of my 14-team league, and then Mahomes fell on my lap several rounds later, and I couldn't pass him up. I just thought, well, you know, Mahomes could be a top five quarterback again. And he's got a great late season schedule. So I want to go for it. I don't want an opponent to have Mahomes. And I'm willing to carry two quarterbacks. And it's worked out for obvious reasons. Lamar Jackson gets hurt. Mahomes right now is the, I think he's the overall QB2 coming out of last night's game. He had 17 fantasy points, I think, at halftime. I mean, he came very close to really breaking it open and going 30 points. If, you know, a couple things, you know, that one mistake in the interception. And the point is, he dominated in fantasy yesterday, even if it wasn't the kind of dominant performance that we would see in terms of yardage or in passing TDs. It was still collectively a dominant performance. He has Juju Smith-Schuster. Again, he has Xavier Worthy. He's got Hollywood Brown. He's got Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt in the backfield. Some of these guys have been on the team for 3+ years. There is, you know, some, this is their second year. Rashi Rice is coming back. Travis Kelce, of course, the mainstay. And so what we start to see, I think, is that in the turmoil of 2023 and 2024, when they had talent, but it was all very new and, players getting hurt and cycling in and out, next man up kind of stuff. Now we're seeing a little more consistency. Maybe the players are know their roles better. Maybe Hollywood Brown, who's used to being the alpha earlier in his career, embraces the role that he's in now, which is, you know, situational. And maybe that's actually, maybe that was tough for him last, you know, the last time, you know, he played a full season, but now he's maybe a little more used to it. The same can be said for Juju Smith-Schuster, who, you know, only gets a few targets, you know, but he does his role. He does his job. Tyquan Thornton, you know, a good example of somebody stepping up, obviously newer to the team. So that doesn't really work. But if you go down the list from Kelsey to Brown to Worthy to Pacheco to Smith-Schuster to Hunt, most of the guys he threw to yesterday, guys who's been on the team for 2-3 seasons, sometimes more. In the case of, for example, Kelsey and Hunt. I think Hunt. I'm trying to remember now if it's season 3 for him, because he came in, left, came back. But this is part of the reason why I think Mahomes was due for a big rebound this season. That stability mattered. Now, a week ago, I did a podcast episode where I asked the question, who do we trust in this offense? Because there are so many targets that he can go to with Worthy coming back, and now he's obviously fully back, and with Rashee Rice coming back in 2 to 3 weeks potentially, then what happens? And you have this crowded receiving core where maybe Rice is the alpha, maybe Worthy ascends to the alpha over Rice. We don't know that yet. We assume that Rice is the alpha, but who knows? And that doesn't discount the fact that Brown could still play a weekly role in that offense. The backfield is a complete mess, for better or for worse. I mean, if you started Kareem Hunt last night, good for you. That's amazing. You're not going to get many performances like that out of Kareem Hunt anymore. But it's very hard. I think a week later, what I'm seeing is that Mahomes is the constant. Mahomes is the guy who very well could be elite the rest of the season. And when Rice comes back, he could solidify his eliteness because he has all that talent, all that depth. Where if somebody gets hurt, the next man up is easy because the next man up is already actively involved in the offense. And that's really the key, I think, for any successful fantasy quarterback that you have rostered. If you are dependent on one great player, take the Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr. scenario, even though that connection hasn't been fully formed, if Harrison got hurt and Kyler Murray is, let's say, healthy, who is he throwing to besides Trey McBride? There's no wide receiver. I mean, Michael Wilson's probably not going to step up and be a must-start wide receiver. Kyler Murray would take a hit in terms of his production without having Harrison. There's a lot of teams like that where if you lose the number one, I guarantee you that in a healthy Joe Burrow-led Bengals offense, that if Jamar Chase gets hurt, there is no way that Burrow's ceiling is as high as it would have been if Chase were on the field. Not the case with Patrick Mahomes. What we're seeing with Mahomes is that he can get 25-plus fantasy points even if his top two wide receivers are not playing. And again, there's a lot of factors that go into that. I'm taking one slice of it, which is the throwback stat that I love about just the consistency that he had in that offense. And what we're seeing now is the next generation of that consistency. That is why what we're seeing out of Mahomes is not a fluke. It is for real. We know this about him, but he fell under a lot of radars this summer because he wasn't the shiny object that people wanted to see. Jaden Daniels was the shiny object. Another guy, you know, Joe Burrow was the shiny. We're looking at last year's stats instead of Mahomes is getting all his guys back. It'll take a little while, but he's getting them all back. That matters to a quarterback that needs to rely, that needs to lean on, needs to trust that he is synced up with his receivers. I'm BJ Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners. Follow me on the blog. Email me anytime. We'll see you tomorrow.